Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 21st, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the political showdown kicks off to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court.
TikTok strikes a deal to stay in business despite falling short of some key demands.
And a grim milestone draws near as U.S. deaths from COVID-19 near 200,000.
After the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Democrats see a record-setting deluge of donations. I'm John Tucker. That story straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Jets, Giants, Mets, and Yankees all lost. Bryson DeChambeau was a runaway winner at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Take the bond challenge by using the free IBKR bond search tool to compare available yields against those of your broker. Learn more at ibkr.com/bonds.
And U.S. futures are tumbling to start the week. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 59 points, Dow futures down 554, NASDAQ futures down 181, the DAX in Germany is down 3.1%, 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 0.66%, and the yield in the 2-year 0.13%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we're going to get more on the markets in just a minute. First, the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has raised the stakes for the presidential election, now just 43 days away. President Trump is moving to name a successor, most likely a woman, as soon as this week. At a Facebook event last night, the president said it's his constitutional duty to do so.
We won the election. They chose leaders committed to appointing justices who will apply the Constitution as written, and that is what we will do.
But Democratic nominee Joe Biden says if Republicans jam a nominee this close to the vote, it would be an exercise in raw political power.
But if I win this election, President Trump's nominee should be withdrawn. And as a new president, I should be the one who nominates Justice Ginsburg's successor.
So far, two Republican senators, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, have come out against confirming a new justice before the election. Democrats need two more to derail the president's plans. More from Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr.
If they do get their nominee on the court, it would be a huge shift to the right for the court, really the biggest ideological shift for a single seat in 30 years or so. And Democrats are going to come under renewed pressure to add seats to the court. Some of them are already talking about that.
Over the weekend, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer reportedly told fellow Democrats, quote, nothing is off the table if they gain control of the Senate. Other Democratic lawmakers have said that could mean expanding the court or getting rid of the filibuster.
Another key story in politics, President Trump giving his blessing to Oracle and Walmart's tie-up with TikTok. The president is celebrating the partnership, even though it falls short on some of his key demands. The app's Chinese owner will have an 80% stake in the new company, while the White House gets a U.S. headquarters for the business and the promise of new jobs.
I can say that I have given the deal my blessing. If they get it done, that's great. If they don't, that's okay, too. But it's a great deal for America.
The tie-up, however, still needs approval from the Chinese government. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel brings us more on that from Hong Kong.
Some indication, though, from ByteDance late last week that their indications from the Chinese government is that they might approve it, because we're also hearing from the Global Times editor-in-chief, Hu Xijin. Global Times is the mouthpiece of the Communist Party and newspaper. He says this scheme is still unfair, but it avoids the worst result, that TikTok is shut down or sold to a U.S. company completely.
Stephen Engel reporting from Hong Kong. If approved, Bloomberg News has learned the new company would file for an initial public offering next year.
Well, meantime, White House restrictions on WeChat have been put on hold by a judge. WeChat users are arguing the curbs would violate free speech rights of Chinese-speaking Americans who rely on the app. WeChat, which was supposed to disappear from U.S. app stores yesterday, has 19 million users in the U.S. and 1 billion worldwide.
And this headline, crossing the Bloomberg, Dow Jones reporting Illumina has reached a deal to buy Grail for $7.1 billion in cash. We now turn our attention to the coronavirus, where the United States is closing in on a grim milestone, 200,000 deaths. And former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says he expects the U.S. to experience at least one more cycle of the virus in the fall and winter.
If you look at what's happening around the country right now, there's an unmistakable spike in new infections, and you're also seeing declines in hospitalizations that we were achieving starting to level off. I would expect them to start going up again as well.
Gottlieb made the comments on Face the Nation from CBS, heard Sunday mornings on Bloomberg Radio. Meantime, in the UK, officials are expected to warn the country is at a critical point in the pandemic, with cases heading in the wrong direction. There are concerns that a second lockdown may be needed.
Now, when it comes to economic relief from the outbreak, remarks from Federal Reserve officials will be front and center this week. We get more from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The Fed blackout is definitely over. We'll hear from 10 of the 17 American central bankers this week, including three appearances by Chairman Jay Powell on Capitol Hill. Most will be explaining their new policy framework that ties rate moves to the level of inflation. Powell, however, will testify before three different congressional committees on the CARES Act and the U.S. central bank's response to the coronavirus pandemic. Representatives in particular want to know why so little of the money they gave the Fed to lend to American companies, states, and cities has gone out the door. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Harry Meckel, thank you. We're seeing shares of HSBC trading at a 25-year low in London this morning. That's due in part to a scathing report on the world's banks. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's Caroline Hepker in London. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Europe's largest bank faces the threat of China's unreliable entity list. Based on Saturday's Global Times report, Hong Kong is HSBC's largest market, remember. Plus, the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists has named the bank as one of the lenders that, quote, kept profiting from powerful and dangerous players over two decades. HSBC says it's been on a multi-year journey to overhaul its ability to combat financial crime. Add that to the pandemic, surging loan losses and low interest rates. It's a basket of woes for HSBC. In London, I'm Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Caroline, thank you. In other corporate news, a management shakeup has shares of Nikola down more than 27% in pre-market trading. The electric vehicle startup's founder, Trevor Milton, has stepped down as executive chairman. Nikola is reported to be the focus of investigations by U.S. regulators following a highly critical short seller report. Futures moving lower this morning. This is Bloomberg. At 6:07 on Wall Street, we check the latest world and national news now with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
Nathan, good morning. The Biden campaign is flush with cash, and donations are pouring in after the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
In April, Biden had about $98 million in the bank compared to $255 million for President Trump. Democratic donor enthusiasm driven by opposition to President Trump and further energized by the selection of Senator Kamala Harris as Biden's running mate has given the former vice president an unprecedented financial edge for a challenger. Biden has more than $460 million on hand, which is $140 million more than President Trump. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And for most school kids in New York City, today will mean back to school, but not back to the classroom. Only pre-kindergartens and some special education students are scheduled to end a six-month absence from school buildings because of the coronavirus pandemic. Parent and teacher Cameron Barlib has lots of concerns.
You just have to consider the options and weigh their benefits and the risk and do what you think is comfortable.
Mayor Bill de Blasio last week postponed the return of everyone else because of staffing and supply shortages. Secretary of State Michael Pompeo says European governments that aren't backing the U.S. reimposition of U.N. sanctions on Iran are wedded to what he calls the silly 25 nuclear deal, and they haven't proposed an alternative for preventing new conventional arms sales to Iran.
I hope they will come to understand that if you really want to lead, if you want to be part of a global coalition to reduce risk in the Middle East, then you need to join us.
Pompeo was speaking on Fox News' Sunday Morning Futures. Three passengers suffered minor injuries when a New York City subway train hit construction debris on the tracks and derailed. The derailment yesterday morning at 14th Street and 8th Avenue station in Manhattan, and a 30-year-old Bronx man was arrested for tossing the debris on the track. The A-train service has resumed. And on Netflix, Schitt's Creek swept the Emmy Awards for comedy on Sunday night, capping its rise from a Canadian sitcom with a cult following to one of the most celebrated television shows. Global News 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. It's only 2 weeks in, but indications it's going to be another long football season in New York. The Giants have the NFL's worst record since 2017, 12-38. They fell behind 17-0 in Chicago. They did mount a comeback, had a chance to win on the final play from the Bears' 10-yard line, but Daniel Jones' pass was incomplete, and Chicago held on 17-13, and the Giants lost their star running back, Saquon Barkley, a likely season-ending torn ACL. At least their game turned out close. The Jets let the 49ers' Raheem Mostert score on an 80-yard run on the first play, and the route was on. The 49ers won 31-13. Close game last night. Seattle stopped Cam Newton from the 1-yard line on the final play, beat New England 35-30. Russell Wilson threw 5 touchdown passes. Good finish in the NBA. Lakers Nuggets game 2 in the West.
Rondo brings in Anthony Davis, 3 for the win. He got it! No time on the clock. It's over. Anthony Davis hits a 3. The Lakers win it. Anthony Davis from the left corner buries a 3, and the Lakers lead the Western Conference Finals 2-0.
Lakers Radio had the call. The Yankees' 10-game winning streak is over. They lost in Boston 10-2. Rookie Davey Garcia had his first real bad outing. Yanks had only 3 hits, though one was Luke Voit's 21st home run. Yanks still clinched the playoff berth when Seattle lost. Mets also held the 3 hits, lost to Atlanta 7-0. Rick Porcello fell to 1-6. Bryson DeChambeau, known for his long drives after he put on 40 pounds of muscle, but he showed at the U.S. Open he's a complete golfer. DeChambeau, the only one to finish under par, never had a round over par. He won the Open at Wingfoot by 6 shots. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures down 59 points. Dow futures down 563, or 2%. NASDAQ futures lower by 181 points. 10 years up 9/32. The yield 0.66%. 2-year treasury yield 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil down 2%, down 83 cents, $40.28 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.25%, down $24.70 at 1937.40 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1786 against the dollar. The yen at 104.12. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning, hit by concern about new restrictions spurred by rising coronavirus cases. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 59 points. Dow futures down 568, or more than 2%. And NASDAQ futures are down 186. The DAX in Germany down 3.33%. 10-year Treasury up 11/32, yield 0.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5% on $1 at $40.10 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.3%, or $25.10 at $19.37 an ounce. The euro, 1.1778 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2844. And the yen, 104.10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Donald Trump's plans to name a replacement for Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg this week offer Joe Biden the chance to galvanize newly energized Democrats. A Reuters Ipsos poll released Sunday finds 62% of American adults, including half of Republicans surveyed, think Ginsburg should be replaced by the winner of the November election. U.S. deaths related to COVID-19 are approaching 200,000. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says he expects the U.S. to experience at least one more cycle of the virus in the fall and winter. Andy, in Bloomberg Sports, Giants fall to the Bears. They also may have lost Saquon Barkley to a season-ending knee injury. The 49ers, they beat the Jets. The Patriots and Washington both lose. The Yankees clinch a playoff berth, and Bryson DeChambeau wins golf's U.S. Open. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has not just reshaped the presidential race, it also has the potential to alter the balance of power in the high court itself. For more on that, we're joined now by Bloomberg Government Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Robinson. Good to talk with you this morning, Kimberly. Talk a little bit more about how Justice Ginsburg's loss could reshape the dynamic of the balance of power within the high court.
Well, sure. It was just 4 years ago where Democrats were looking towards a court that for the first time in many years was dominated by Democratic appointees, but now the landscape looks very different. Instead, now we have five justices who were appointed by Republicans and just three appointed by Democratic presidents, and that's really shifted the court to be quite conservative. And so we saw last term that the median justice was Chief Justice Roberts, who is by no means a liberal or really a median. And so we've seen the court over the last few years really shift more conservative, and we can expect if a Trump nominee is on the court that that will continue.
So does that mean potentially that there will no longer be a swing vote on the Supreme Court?
I think it means that the swing vote will look a little bit different. It may not focus entirely on Chief Justice Roberts, but may instead be one of the Trump nominees who turns up to be the swing vote, depending on what issue the court is looking at. But it's important to keep in mind that the issues that the Supreme Court is going to be looking at are probably going to be more conservative with three Trump appointees on the court.
And one of the issues that we do know that the Supreme Court is going to be looking at just a week after Election Day is whether the Affordable Care Act is legally viable. Talk a little bit more how that case could be affected.
Sure. Well, this is the seventh time that the Supreme Court is going to hear challenges to President Obama's signature health care law. And one of the concerns by court watchers is that now with a shorthanded court, that the court actually comes out 4-4, and which leaves the lower court's ruling in place and doesn't provide any binding precedent for other courts. And that's unsatisfactory to have the highest court in the nation really unable to decide, be the final word on such an important matter like healthcare, particularly in this pandemic.
Is there a possibility that that case and others that are potentially politically fraught could be re-argued once a replacement for Justice Ginsburg is confirmed?
Well, that certainly is an option, and we've seen traditionally that the court, if they are deadlocked in really important cases, will go ahead and rehear the case once a new member is confirmed. And while we'll eventually get an answer, it raises concerns about delayed justice. We're in, of course, this pandemic, and a lot of the cases have already been delayed from last term. And so putting this off to rehear it with another justice just continues to push those cases and continues to provide an answer that that we expect from the Supreme Court.
Let's look in the time that we have left on the possible nominees President Trump could be considering here. He said that it will most likely be a woman, and the names that have emerged as front runners include Amy Coney Barrett and Barbara Lagoa. What do we know about those two judges?
Well, both of these judges are Trump appointees already. They were both appointed to the federal bench by President Trump in recent years. Both are very young, in their late 40s and early 50s, and so we can expect either, if appointed to the bench, to serve across many different administrations. And both are, of course, conservative in the mold of Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh.
So then, in our last 30 seconds here, given that they have both gone through the confirmation process in the past, what does that mean for the potential timeline for getting a justice confirmed? Could it actually be done in the limited calendar time left that senators have before Election Day?
Well, in modern history, we've seen these confirmation battles trend closer to about 70 days, but of course, we're in new territory, and we'll just have to see what the American people will stomach from the Senate as we go forward.
43 days left until the election. Kimberly Robinson, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Kimberly Robinson covers the Supreme Court for Bloomberg Government. And taking a look at the markets this morning ahead of the open on Wall Street, we are seeing losses across the board with S&P futures right now down 52 points or 1.5%. Dow futures down 525. That's a drop of 1.9%. NASDAQ futures are down 142 points. That's about 1.3% lower. European stock indexes are all down more than 3% across the board. The 10-year is up 10/32. Yield on a 10-year Treasury note, 0.65%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And that brings us to 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world to begin the week. There's concern that rising coronavirus cases could lead to new travel restrictions and that the fight to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg could eclipse any prospect for a fresh stimulus package.
And on that front, President Trump is promising to move quickly to replace the late Supreme Court justice.
It will be a highly qualified person. It will be a woman that we choose, and the nomination will be put forth sometime next week.
But Democratic nominee Joe Biden says a confirmation fight this close to the election would be an exercise in raw political power.
Don't vote to confirm anyone nominated under the circumstances President Trump and Senator McConnell have created. Don't go there.
A new Reuters Ipsos poll finds 62% of Americans think the winner of the November election should choose Ginsburg's replacement.
Meantime, in other news, President Trump has signed off on the TikTok Oracle deal, even though it does not meet some key demands. He wanted the U.S. part of the business owned by an American company, but China's ByteDance remains the majority shareholder. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has more from Hong Kong.
ByteDance, the parent of TikTok, would retain the majority stake in TikTok Global's assets and control the closely guarded, of course, algorithms. Oracle will get access to review, though, the source code, as well as any updates that come down the pike to make sure that there are no back doors. That's one of the big concerns, of course, of the Trump administration.
And that's Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reporting from Hong Kong. In another development, White House restrictions on WeChat are being put on hold by a judge, upending an effort to halt use of the Chinese-owned app in the U.S.
Leaked documents related to more than $2 trillion in transactions from 1999 to 2017 show that J.P. Morgan and Deutsche Bank, among others, kept profiting from powerful and dangerous players even after the U.S. imposed penalties on them. The documents were obtained by BuzzFeed. One example includes J.P. Morgan moving money for the financier behind Malaysia's 1MDB scandal. The bank also processed payments for former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort.
And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 47 points, Dow futures down 499, and NASDAQ futures down 131. 10-year Treasury up 11/32, yield 0.65%, the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 2.4% on 99 cents at $40.12 a barrel. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, John Tucker.
And good morning, Nathan. A flood of Democratic fundraising since Friday signals that fear of a generation-long conservative hold on the Supreme Court has rallied support behind former Vice President Joe Biden. The death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg is also giving Biden a new chance to extend his advantage with younger and female voters who viewed Ginsburg as an icon. In the 48 hours after Ginsburg's death, donors poured more than $120 million into the Act Blue platform, which processes grassroots donations for Democratic Party candidates and causes. That included $71 million on Saturday alone, shattering the party's previous one-day record of $42 million. Firefighters in California are concerned that the weather the next couple of days may really whip up the fires there. More in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The real hotspots at this point are in Southern California, although the same fires continue to burn in the north. But SoCal is getting some very high offshore winds and very low humidity. Additional evacuation orders have been given in what is known the Bobcat Fire in northeast of L.A. It has doubled in size over the last week. In Northern California, the smell of smoke in some areas has returned as the winds shift offshore with the hope now that fires can remain contained. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
U.S. deaths related to COVID-19 approached 200,000. And the nation's new cases rose in line with one-week average. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says he expects the U.S. to experience at least one more cycle of the virus in the fall and the winter. Early retirements are getting the blame for teacher shortages in some parts of the country, including in the nation's largest school district. In New York City today, special education school districts and preschools are supposed to open for in-person learning. But Camilla Poppin is keeping her two young daughters at home.
We're doing fully remote, so we decided that a while back. I don't think New York is ready yet.
New York City's return to in-person learning will be phased in by grade levels over the next 2 weeks. Well, New Yorkers used to dread the snarled traffic of late September as thousands of diplomats, their motorcades and entourages, would descend upon Manhattan for the UN General Assembly. Well, they don't have to worry as the event kicks into high gear on Tuesday with world leaders sending video speeches to a silent UN hall. It's the latest blow to New York City's faltering attempts to reopen in the age of COVID-19. And we have global news 24 hours a day on air on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, it was a day that saw the Jets, Giants, Mets, and Yankees all lose. The Jets never in it after Raheem Mostert's 80-yard touchdown run on the first play. The Jets' only TD came with just over a minute to play. The 49ers won easily 31-13. So the Jets are 0-2. So are the Giants, and they're going to likely be without Saquon Barkley the rest of the season. They fear he tore his ACL. Official word expected today. Giants lost in Chicago 17-13. They were down 17-0 at the half. They did rally, had a chance to win on the final play from the Bears' 10-yard line, but Daniel Jones' pass was incomplete. Wild game in Dallas. The Cowboys trailed Atlanta by 20, trailed by 15 with 5 minutes left. They rallied past the Falcons 40-39. Seattle last night held off New England 35-30. Russell Wilson threw 5 touchdown passes. The Yankees had won 10 in a row, 12 straight versus the Red Sox. Boston finally got a victory 10-2. Michael Chavis hit 2 home runs. Davey Garcia got roughed up. The Yankees used third-string catcher Eric Kratz on the mound to finish up. The Yanks have still clinched a playoff berth, and next week they are likely to play the Twins in the playoffs. That's a team the Yanks have dominated in recent years. The Mets' slim playoff hopes took a hit with a 7-0 loss to Atlanta. Buzzer beater in the NBA, the Lakers' Anthony Davis, a game-winning three-pointer, a 105-103 win over Denver for a 2-0 lead in the West. Only one golfer finished under par at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, and Bryson DeChambeau never had a round over par. He had only one bogey yesterday. DeChambeau pulled away, won his first major by 6 shots. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Rediscovering what offices are good for. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. For the first time since March, I went back to my office in Midtown Manhattan last week. It was nice. The place wasn't crowded, everybody was wearing masks away from their desks, and hardly anybody in New York has COVID-19 right now anyway, so it didn't feel particularly risky. I had 2 impromptu conversations with my boss and sat close enough to another colleague to engage in a little desk-to-desk banter, which was, of course, thrilling after all these months. Getting home after a full day in the office was also weirdly rewarding. So, yay, offices are great. I think I'll go back occasionally. I won't go back every day, though, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that. That's the big quandary for employers and owners of commercial real estate. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. And terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Coming up this week, Wall Street returns to work with U.S. futures falling and investors searching for new catalysts. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The big question for investors is, will the move away from high-flying technology stocks continue? Sam Stovall is chief investment strategist at CFRA.
Basically, you know, the feeling is that I think investors are still trying to decide, do I emphasize equities when we're looking at such a great divide between growth and value, which is at the highest level since these indices were created back in 1974? Or do I take some short-term profits now?
Companies scheduled to post results in this light earnings week include AutoZone, Costco, Accenture, and Nike. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Upcoming housing data could signal a pause in one of the economy's bright spots. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has a preview of this week's economic indicators.
Home sales will be in the spotlight after government data showed a sharper-than-forecast decline in housing starts. The National Association of Realtors reports on existing home sales Tuesday, and the Commerce Department reports on new home sales Thursday. The impact of tropical storms could offset the positive effects of record low mortgage rates and the COVID-19 urban exodus that have fueled recent property market gains. Other key data this week, factory orders for durable goods, which have also been rebooting. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. A management shakeup has shares of Nikola down more than 34% in the pre-market. The electric vehicle startup's founder, Trevor Milton, has stepped down as executive chairman. Nikola is reported to be the focus of investigations by U.S. regulators following a highly critical short seller report. S&P futures are down 50 points or 1.5%. Dow futures down 514 points. That's a drop of 1.8%. NASDAQ futures lower by 139 points. That's down 1.3%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help you protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures falling this morning, hit by concerns about new restrictions spurred by rising coronavirus cases. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 53 points, Dow futures down 549, and NASDAQ futures down 152. The DAX in Germany is down 3.3%. 10-year Treasury up 10 32nds, yield 0.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.3% or 95 cents at $40.16 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.25% or $24.30 at $19.3780 an ounce. The euro 1.1781 against the dollar. The yen 104.13. And Illumina will pay $7.1 billion in cash and stock for the part of Grail that it does not already own. That according to Dow Jones. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. The Senate returns to Washington. All eyes on Republican Senators Mitt Romney of Utah and Chuck Grassley of Iowa for clues to whether they'll support any effort to approve a Supreme Court justice before November's elections. Tropical storm conditions are beginning today in parts of Texas and Louisiana as Tropical Storm Beta slowly works its way into a part of the country that's already been drenched and battered during a busy hurricane season. And former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says he expects the U.S. to experience at least one more cycle of the coronavirus in the fall and winter. He cited rising cases in the South and Midwest despite slowdowns in New York, Miami, and Houston. And in Bloomberg Sports, the Giants fall to the Bears. They also may have lost Saquon Barkley to a season-ending knee injuries. 49ers beat the Jets. The Patriots and Washington both lose. Yankees clinch a playoff berth. And Bryson DeChambeau wins golf's U.S. Open. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. And now it's time to check what's going on in D.C., where as soon as this week, President Trump promises to nominate a woman to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Republican Senator Ted Cruz tells ABC's This Week that seat needs to be filled as soon as possible, especially if there's a contested election.
That could make this presidential election drag on weeks and months and well into next year. That is an intolerable situation for the country. We need a full court.
But Republicans blocked Merrick Garland's nomination for more than 9 months during the last presidential election year. Democratic Senator Chris Coons tells Fox News Sunday,
for the Republican majority, just 44 days before the next presidential election, to rush through a new justice in a partisan confirmation process will further divide our country, will further challenge the legitimacy of the court, and I think would dishonor Justice Ginsburg. Legacy.
Meantime, the U.S. is on the verge of 200,000 deaths from the coronavirus. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar tells NBC's Meet the Press the country is also on the verge of a vaccine.
If we had said back in January that by the end of this year we'd have 100 million doses likely of FDA gold standard vaccine in the United States, people would have laughed at that. And yet we have mobilized the entire government and the public and private sector, and this is a realistic possibility for this country. Now.
But former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb tells CBS's Face the Nation there may be more pain ahead.
There's about 15 states where the positivity rate is 10% or higher, which is deeply concerning. There's about 30 states where the RT, the rate of transfer, is above one, meaning they have an expanding epidemic.
Face the Nation, Meet the Press, Fox News Sunday, and This Week can all be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. Let's get more on all these stories now. Bloomberg U.S. Politics editor Kathleen Hunter joins me now. And, Kate, I think it's safe to say that the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has given a seismic shift to this presidential election and the stakes involved.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, this election we've been talking about for weeks is going to be about Trump's response to the coronavirus and the fallout of the pandemic for the economy. But this injects certainly a really unexpected new front to both sides' campaigns and, you know, to potentially the battle, not just for the White House, but also for the Senate.
Well, what does this mean for galvanizing both sides? We've already seen that Democratic interest groups have raised a lot of money off this, but the Supreme Court, the makeup of the Supreme Court, is a huge base issue for the Republican side as well, isn't it?
It certainly is. I mean, particularly around the issue of abortion, we can, you know, expect that Trump would nominate a pro-life person to the court, which could dramatically shift the balance of power when it comes to that issue in particular that we know really does motivate. There are a lot of conservative single-issue voters who just vote on that issue alone. And so I think that what the sum total of this is that it has the potential to make this even more of a base election where the margins in battleground states are decided by which side gets their base more energized into the polls. And this certainly, I think, is going to energize both the conservative and the liberal base. But I think there's an important note here, too, when it comes to Joe Biden, because, you know, Joe Biden he's more of a centrist candidate. And so there was some question about whether he was going to have the ability to energize more liberal voters and get them to the polls. And I think this, in that aspect, could potentially work in his favor, because I think that certainly now I think liberal voters are going to be more motivated to come out than they were before this development.
And as you mentioned, this also has implications for the Senate races as well. Control of the Senate by either party is up for grabs in this election. How could a Supreme Court fight change that?
Well, Republicans were already playing defense this year just because the way the electoral map looks, they have more seats than Democrats that they're defending. They only have a 3-seat majority currently, so Democrats would need to pick up 3 to 4 seats depending on who wins the White House to get a majority. And I think that, you know, the question here is if McConnell does go ahead and move through or try to move through a nominee, particularly before the election, then that could have implications for some of these vulnerable Democrats who are up this year. Susan Collins in particular is one that we'd look at to see, you know, how she might vote on a nominee. And if she does support a nominee, whether that might have a follow-on effect for her, a detrimental effect for her in her own race. So there's certainly a lot for McConnell to consider. And there is certainly a motivation that runs against Trump's eagerness for him to kind of temper the speed with which he might consider a nominee slightly until after the election, you know, because that might make things easier for some of the Republicans who are on down ballot races this year.
And as you mentioned, up until now, much of this race had been driven by the president's response to the coronavirus pandemic and the economic impact. Does this Supreme Court vacancy just take those issues off the table for voters now?
I don't think so. I think for the average everyday American voter, particularly the economy and also, of course, which you can't really separate the economic situation from the coronavirus situation. We just heard about how the U.S. is closing in on 200,000 deaths. I think that issue is still going to be one that is a primary driver for this election and one that affects, you know, everyday Americans quite heavily.
As you mentioned, the U.S. is close to 200,000 COVID deaths. There's the looming prospect of another round of stimulus. Of course, that has been almost at a deadlock when it comes to getting Republicans and Democrats to agree on something. Fed Chair Powell and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin are going to be testifying on Capitol Hill this week. Could that change things?
Well, of course, whenever we see, you know, the Fed Chairman and the Treasury Secretary go up to Capitol Hill, that has the potential to, you know, either jumpstart or further delay some kind of negotiation. But I think more importantly, when it comes to the stimulus, is the development that we were just talking about with the Supreme Court. That's already creating a lot of acrimony within the Senate in particular. And so I think that certainly doesn't help efforts to reach bipartisan consensus that have already been difficult on the stimulus front.
Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. And as always, you can read more on these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
Thanks, Nathan. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT, more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The newly formed U.S. Space Force is deploying troops to a vast new frontier, the Arabian Peninsula. Space Force now has a squadron of 20 airmen stationed at Qatar's Al Udeid Air Base in its first foreign deployment. The force, pushed by President Donald Trump, represents the sixth branch of the U.S. military and the first new military service since the creation of the Air Force in 1947. Walmart says it's targeting zero emissions from its global operations by 2040. The world's biggest retailer also plans to secure enough wind, solar, and other renewable energy sources to power its facilities with 100% green power by 2035. It had previously said that it aims to secure half of its power from renewable sources by 2025. A bold prediction from Elon Musk in an email to employees. The Tesla CEO said the company has a shot at a record quarter for vehicle deliveries. Tesla delivered a record 112,000 vehicles in the fourth quarter of 2019 before the coronavirus pandemic dented consumer spending on big-ticket items like cars. The company hopes to deliver 500,000 vehicles in 2020 and has delivered roughly 179,000 through the first half. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. S&P futures lower, down 51 points this morning. Dow futures down 522, or about 1.9%. And NASDAQ futures are down 146 points. Straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.